Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. For this week, we're reminding everyone that it's not just adults who do amazing things. Kids are amazing, too. This is the Fascinating Ohio Teen Edition. The Ohio State Fair is one of the largest in the country, and it recently ended its 12-day run. Nearly 1 million people walked the grounds, and in addition to all the adult fair workers, a small group of young people did their part to ensure a fun experience. Among them was Campbell Reese, who is 17 years old and just finished her second year on the Ohio State Junior Fair Board. She spent long days working as a fair ambassador and doing whatever jobs needed doing. When she wasn't doing that, she had animals to exhibit, taking home some top honors. She lives in Geauga County, where her family owns Patterson Fruit Farm. Welcome to All Sides, Campbell.
Thank you.
So tell us how you got involved in the Junior Fair Board. Is it a year-long commitment, or is it only the 12 days of the fair?
So it is a year-long commitment, but we really only do anything during the fair. We met a couple times, not during the fair, but really the majority of the work is during the fair.
How did you decide to get involved? What made you want to be on the Junior Fair Board?
So I'm really involved in 4-H, and that's how I found out about it. A couple of my friends were on the Junior Fair Board, and they said that it was a really good opportunity, so I decided to join as well.
Can anyone apply, or do you have to be with 4-H or a certain organization to be on the fair board?
So anyone can apply. It's ages 16 to 21, so you just kind of have to be in that category and just really have a love for the fair.
Okay. So for the 12-day fair, if you're a member of the Junior Fair Board, do you live on the grounds? Is that right?
Yes. So we stay in the road center on the fairgrounds.
Okay. And you work long hours, I'm assuming. What's a typical day like?
So we usually start around 8, and then we go until the concert. So we also help usher the concert. So usually around like 9:30-ish is when we would be done.
That's a 12-hour day. That's a lot. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I definitely enjoyed it. There was some tough parts, but overall, it was a great experience. I would recommend anyone to do it, and I just gained so much from it.
Okay, so tell me about something you learned, something you gained, or what kind of experience you had as a Junior Fair Board member.
So I really got to gain team building skills and working together as a team. They're long days, and we're together for 12 days, and you just really have to learn to work together as a team. And even though there are some issues with people, you still have to work through them and just become a unit almost, and just make yourself be a team that gets along and really has a fun time as well while working at the fair.
What's your favorite job you were given as a member of the Junior Fair Board?
So one of my favorites is the monster mural. It's basically just a big wall that kids can go and paint whatever they want on. And it's just really enjoyable for me to go and help those kids have fun, have a good time at the fair like I did when I was little. And that is definitely one of my favorite things.
Do you get to eat from all the vendors? Did you eat a lot of deep fried stuff?
Oh, yeah. So we get to eat. We can eat whatever at the fair. I definitely ate a lot. My favorite place was Tracy's at the fair. It's just like a kind of a burger place. Really good food. My favorite for sure.
Okay. Did you try, what was the new thing this year? Was it deep fried deviled eggs or something? Did you try any of that?
Yes. So not deep fried deviled okay. eggs, but the deviled eggs. I had the new flight, the cookie dough egg. It was very good. Interesting, but very good.
Oh, cookie dough on an egg. Is that what it was?
Yes. So it was the egg white with cookie dough inside. So it was interesting, but very good.
Okay. Besides that monster mural and eating the fair food, if you had a minute to yourself, were you allowed to, like, I don't know, ride a ride, or like what kind of fun things would you do at the fair if you could, when you had like a little bit of time off?
So I would go to the sheep barn and be with my family and my sheep whenever I had a spare minute. I really love working on my sheep, fitting them, getting them ready for the show. So that's what I spent my time doing when I wasn't doing my Junior Fair Board duties.
And the fair brings in some pretty good musical talent. You said you got to help usher the concerts. Did you have a favorite concert or anything that you were excited about with that?
Yeah, so probably my favorite concert was the Warren Zeiders concert because I like country music, but all the concerts are really good. It's so fun to see all the different people that come to the concerts and watch them having such a good time at the concerts. The concerts are fun.
Tell me about some of the people you meet, because a press release from the fair said that tickets for the fair were purchased from all 50 states and 26 different countries. So there were people around the fair from Australia, Japan, Germany, Mexico. Did you have any good interactions with people?
So the one interaction that I had, I met this guy actually at the concert. He and his wife were finding their seats, and he asked me how many languages I spoke. And I said, one. And he said, well, I can speak five. And so he listed all the languages that he spoke. And I thought that was really cool, being able to meet someone that has that many, the ability to speak that many different languages.
Did you make some lifelong friends from other parts of Ohio too? Because I have to imagine all the Junior Fair board members are from all over the state.
Yes, they are. And I definitely have made some lifelong connections and friendships with all of those people.
Did you have people from like your 4-H in your area? I don't know how big is the Junior Fair Board. I guess I should have asked.
So
that.
There is 20 of us on the Junior Fair Board, and I don't really have anyone from my area, not from Geauga County, but there's really people from all over the state. I knew a few of them coming into it, and then I didn't know some of them, so I got to meet them and become really good friends with them.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking with Campbell Reese for our teen edition of Fascinating Ohio. She's a member of the Ohio State Junior Fair Board and just finished working 12 days straight at the fair. You also exhibited animals. Tell me, what animals did you exhibit?
So I exhibited sheep, horned Dorsets, our breed of sheep that we show, market chickens, and white bantam call ducks.
All right. So the sheep, the horned Dorsets, I looked up a picture, but we're on the radio right now. They're very distinctive looking. Can you describe the horns?
Yes. So there are both boys and girls have horns. So boys or rams have thicker horns that kind of curl around, and girls ewes have horns that kind of go make one loop kind of around and just are open. But the horns are pretty thick, but it is one of the only breeds that both boys and girls have horns. So that's something that I really like about them that's unique.
So your family owns Patterson Fruit Farm. So I'm guessing you focus on fruit, hence the name. But you also have animals. Are the animals just for your 4-H doing? And does your farm have animals too?
So our farm also has animals. We breed horned Dorsets, so we have them year round. And so we're mainly a fruit and sheep, but we also have chickens as well and ducks.
Mainly fruit and sheep. Okay. What kind of fruit does your farm grow?
So mainly apples, but we also have strawberries and peaches. And we'd sell in our farm market, we sell all sorts of kinds of fruits and vegetables, but we mainly grow apples, strawberries, and peaches.
Okay. But you won an award for your ducks, right? Is that your?
Yes.
So you might focus on sheep and fruit, but you have award winning ducks. Tell me about your ducks.
Yes, so we have four white bantam call ducks, and I exhibited all four of them at the fair, and I did very well at the fair. I won grand champion waterfowl, which is basically the best waterfowl at the fair. And then I also got reserve champion waterfowl as well. So I was very happy with my ducks.
So you have the best looking ducks in the state of Ohio. Is that what that means?
Yes.
I looked up what a white bantam call duck is. They are adorable, I have to say.
They really are. They really are cute.
Can you describe them for our audience a little bit?
Yeah. So they're about 1 inch off the ground. They're really little. Like you can fit them in the palm of your hand. They're white. I would say like their beak is probably about like 5 inches off the ground where they're standing. They're just really little and white. They have, their bill is very yellow. Their legs are very yellow, and they're just really cute ducks.
Now, when you decided you wanted to raise ducks, did you say to your parents, we have these sheep, we have these chickens, but I'm interested in ducks. Did they want to add another animal?
Yeah, so my mom actually had always wanted a white bantam call duck. So when we said we wanted to do ducks, we knew exactly what kind of ducks we wanted. We didn't want the big ducks. Ducks are very messy. So we wanted the white bantam call ducks, so they're a little smaller and a little bit less mess.
Okay, so
But we knew exactly what we wanted.
yeah, so these ducks, I'm guessing, are they more like pets? You right?
Yes,
Yes.
for sure.
Okay. What kind of remarks? I don't know what it means to have an award-winning duck. What did the judges say about your ducks to make them win?
So they don't really say anything. Poultry shows are kind of interesting. It's not like a sheep show where the judge would comment about your animal. They just kind of go and judge them in the pen. But you're really looking for uniformity in the duck. A nice, you want them to be short, have a small bill of short bill length, and just really good prominent colors in the white and the orange and yellow on them. And so that's how they judge ducks.
Did your ducks have to win at the county level to make it to the fair?
No. So we actually haven't had our county fair yet. It's actually Labor Day weekend. So I will take those ducks and exhibit them at the Geauga County Fair as well. But the state fair was before.
Okay.
So hopefully I can do well at the county fair as well.
Well, you're going to have to say these are statewide award-winning ducks at Geauga County. They need to know what's up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do your ducks have a name?
So they're Ricky and Lucy are the two of them. And then the other one is Bob. And I haven't named the other one yet. I haven't come up with a good name for it yet. But
is there any reason behind picking Ricky, Lucy, and Bob?
So the show I Love Lucy is where Ricky and Lucy came from. These ducks just seemed like they needed to be named Ricky and Lucy. It's their personalities. Like, they just seemed like that needed to be their name. And one of our family friends said that duck should be called Bob, so that's why the other one's name is Bob.
fair enough. I can imagine a duck looking like a Bob. Do you plan to continue with the Junior Fair Board? I don't know if there's a term limit, or do you apply each year?
So 2 years is the term, so I am done now on the Ohio State Fair Junior Fair Board.
Are you going to stick with doing things with the fair, or do you feel like you're done with the fair too?
So I have one more year in 4-H, so 4-H, you can be 18 and show in the junior fair. So I will show one more year at the Ohio State Fair in the junior show. And then I would love to show in the open show forever. I think I really think the Ohio State Fair is something that means a lot in my life. So I will keep exhibiting there until I can't anymore.
Okay. And have you won in the past, not for ducks, but for maybe your sheep or something?
Yes. So I have done very well in the past with my sheep. Last year, me and my brothers had Grand Champion, Horned Dorset, and Reserve. And a couple years ago, I got fifth overall with my ewe. So I've done very well in the past.
Now, you're going to be a senior at West Geauga High School this year. Can you tell me what you're looking forward to most about your senior year? Because that's a big time.
Yes. Yeah, so one of the things is just finishing school. And I think I want to go to Ohio State and do something in agriculture in the future. I want to stay in agriculture. It's something I'm really passionate about, but also just being able to close out high school with my friends and my 4-H friends. And I'm just really looking forward to it.
Do you have any other things you're involved in that are not 4-H related in high school?
Yes. So I'm in the marching band. Actually, band camp is going on right now. I'm skipping lunch for
thank
this,
you.
But
thank you
band
for missing
camp
it for
is
us.
Going on.
Yeah.
Band camp is going on right now, and then I'm also in student council and the club's community service club, and I'm also the president of the National Honor Society for our school. So I'm very involved in my school as well.
Now, I know you said that post high school you might go to Ohio State, you're thinking about agriculture. What have you learned from 4-H and being so involved with the fair board that you think you'll take with you, you know, throughout your life as you grow into an adult here?
So I really think those team building skills, you always have to work with somebody. I think being able to do that is very important in a professional environment. And also just the work ethic. 4-H has given me such a good work ethic. I think it's so important to have that. And I think every skill that I've learned in 4-H, I will take with me into my future and just use it my whole life.
All right. Well, I want to wish you luck at your county fair. And thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to Campbell Reese from the Ohio State Junior Fair Board on All Sides today. And coming up, we're going to meet a couple of ninja warriors. That's when Fascinating Ohio, the teen edition, continues from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. For this week, we're reminding everyone that it's not just adults who do amazing things. Kids are amazing, too. And this is Fascinating Ohio, the teen edition. Chances are, if you haven't watched it, you've at least heard of American Ninja Warrior. It's a reality sports competition television show where contestants compete in a variety of obstacle courses and attempt to conquer the course. Sydney Yee and Dylan Yee are siblings from Powell and were recently on the 17th season of the show. Dylan made his debut and Sydney returned for a third season. Sydney is 16 years old and known as the Sly Ninja. Welcome to All Sides, Sydney.
Thank you.
And Dylan is 15 years old and known as the Happy Ninja. Welcome, Dylan.
Thank you.
So prior to becoming Ninja Warriors, you were first involved in gymnastics. Sydney, can you tell me what got you interested in gymnastics?
Honestly, I think our gymnastics streak was a little brief because we were in it for like maybe a year or so. After gymnastics, we found Ninja, and ever since then, we've just been doing Ninja.
Yeah, Dylan, is it so a Ninja gym is different than a gymnastics gym, I'm guessing?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say a Ninja gym has more obstacle-based trainings and different techniques that you use instead of a gymnastics gym, while gymnastics gym is mainly those like subjects with the beams and the bars and other stuff. So
did the Ninja gym where you train and work out, Sydney, is it similar to an obstacle you would have on American Ninja Warrior, or is it different?
Well, we're really lucky at our gym to have a couple of our ninjas be on the show. So some of our coaches are known for building amazing obstacles. Like, we have wing nuts, which are on the show. We have warp swells that are on the show, and many other obstacles that have been featured on the show. But each season of the show introduces new obstacles, so none of us really know what obstacle is going to be in the course when we get there.
Now, I can imagine joining a ninja gym, having a lot of fun, but what made you decide that you wanted to leap into the TV show thing? Sydney, let's start with you, because you've been on it several times. That has to be a big leap. Why did you want to go on the TV show?
Honestly, as kids, your dream is to be on the show. Even if you're not a kid, your dream when you're training ninja or doing ninja, even for fun, is to be on the show. So when I was eligible when I was 15, you know, I snagged that first application and applied. So I'm really grateful to have been asked so many times on the show. I can't believe that I get to keep coming back.
What, when you apply, would you send a video? How do you apply to be on the show?
So to be on the show, you have to fill out an application, which is a bunch of questions about you, so they can get to know your story. And you also have to film a submission video that they watch. And if they like it, they'll send you on to the next round. And after that, you can get casted.
Okay. Dylan, did you want to follow in your sister's footsteps?
Yeah, I really, like Sydney said, I really wanted to be on the big show. It was a long dream of mine ever since I was a kid watching the show just on the couch, especially since as soon as we watched the show as kids, we started climbing around the house, trying not to break anything, but using different stuff around the house as ninja obstacles, per se. So as soon as we got the chance, and as soon as I was 15 and saw her run, I was like, yes, I really want to do this. I'm really excited for this. So submitted my application immediately.
As a parent, I can imagine that your parents maybe did not enjoy that you were making obstacle courses in your house. So did they quickly send you to the ninja gym?
Yeah. So as soon as we were like climbing around the house using door frames as spider walls and different stuff, my parents immediately looked for ninja gyms. So over the summer, they found the gym Movement Lab Ohio, which we currently train at and have been with ever since for 9 years.
So Sydney, what is it like to be on the show? Like, tell me about just, I don't know, a typical day of filming American Ninja Warrior.
Being on the show is actually so surreal. It's way different than being at a ninja gym. One, because you're over water. And two, because there's like so many spotlights and cameras on you. It's actually crazy. But basically, we get flown out there. We have a day of filming interviews and B-rolls behind the big green screen so that they can put A&W in the background. And then after a day of doing all those interviews and the B-roll and hero shots, we go into our actual course run day where we run the course for the first time. And if you do well in that course run, you can move on and run more courses in the later days.
Okay. Is there a chance you could run the course and not make it on the show? Like, not make it on TV? Or does everyone who's there end up on TV?
It's possible. There have been a couple people that have run the courses and not been on the show. So, yeah.
Now, Dylan, with this show, is there a trick to some of the obstacles? Is some of it luck or is it truly all skill?
I would say mostly pretty much every obstacle is all skill. There's different techniques that you can do that we talk with other athletes and competitors backstage about. For example, one of the obstacles in our course, the second obstacle, so it's lunatic ledges. So there's two different ledges that you have to go to, one that swings with your arms, the other one that you have to catch with your legs. On that second one, we all talked about backstage that you have to go immediately or you won't be able to make it off that second ledge to the platform.
So there's skill, there's techniques, you have to, there's a lot of momentum, I'm guessing, Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of planning before you run the course.
Yeah. And Dylan, when you competed, you were the youngest competitor on your episode. How did that feel being against an entirely older crowd?
I was really nervous at the time. I had so much pressure on me that I thought that I had to perform well. But in the end, everyone was just really happy, really excited to see me run the course. And it was just a great time.
Sydney, you've been on it 3 years in a row. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. How did it feel to make it to the finals? You were in the finals in season 16. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right? How did that feel?
Oh, my God. That was such a crazy feeling because I never imagined when I got casted for 15 and 16 that I would make it to Vegas. I was like, yeah, I'll run a couple of courses. It'll be fun. I'll be living the dream. But when I actually made it to Vegas, it was so surreal. It was so cool to get to see the big stage because all the stuff that got filmed for qualifying and semis is a pretty – it's a big stage, but not too big. But then you get to stage one in Vegas, and the courses are massive. You have big pits of water, and it's actually – it was so, so cool.
Oh, wow. So where is the other – when it's not in Vegas, what city do you go to?
So for 15 and 16, it was in – qualifying and semifinals was in L.A., and then finals is in Vegas. From season 17 and 18 – they're doing all in Vegas.
Okay. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is Fascinating Ohio, the teen edition. And we're talking with Sydney Yee and Dylan Yee, two siblings from Powell who competed on TV on America Ninja Warrior. I introduced you with your ninja names, so we have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. What is it? What is the Sly Ninja? Does everyone have a ninja name?
I feel like as a kid, that's your, like, one thing when you really get into ninja is, what's my ninja name going to be? Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I was doing an art project, and they made you sign with your initials. So my initials are S-L-Y. And I was like, wait, that kind of looks like a word. So I searched it up. Yeah, it was a word. So I just made that my ninja name from then on out.
Okay. You looked up the definition of sly. Are you a sly person?
I would say I'm sly-ish on courses.
All right. And Dylan, how did you become the happy ninja?
So as soon as I started training, a lot of the fellow teammates around me were always like, you're super happy, energetic, and smiling all the time. So they were like, you should be the happy ninja. And I was like, sure, why not? It sounds like a great ninja name. It inspires a lot of positivity, and it's just great.
Okay. Now, did I read correctly? I think that I saw a social media post. Are you going to be on the next season?
Yep. We got casted yesterday.
Yesterday. So, yep. Breaking news here for my show. That's great. So both of you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Both of us.
Will you be on the same episode or does that – you don't know that?
We don't know that yet. Okay. But most likely, probably.
Okay. Maybe they like that. Well, putting siblings together probably would make for some good TV, right?
Probably.
Okay. So tell me, what are you looking forward to about season 18?
I'm looking forward to the obstacles because they always have new ones every year and they're always so fun to try. So obviously for the obstacles, and I honestly like the B-roll, the like behind the scenes videos that they film with the like green screen in the background. That's personally my favorite thing to do because you just get to have fun and like smile at the camera and do a bunch of poses.
So when you say B-roll, that's just whenever they're like interviewing you and they're little interstitials in between watching you run the course. It's just like to introduce the audience to who you are. Is that what you mean?
It's basically whenever there's like videos of people like doing guns or like pointing at the camera. That's the B-roll and hero shots.
Okay. Dylan, what do you look forward to about being on season 18?
I mainly look forward to meeting friends that I've made across the country. I've made so many great lasting friendships across the country, and I can't wait to see them. Like Cindy, I'm also really excited to try new obstacles and hopefully get redemption and hit that buzzer this year.
Okay. Now, from what I've heard, scouting has been a big part of your lives up until this point. Can you talk to me about the tie-in of scouting and your journey on American Ninja Warrior? Sydney, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I was never a Cub Scout, but I always went to Dylan's Cub Scout campouts, and I was so fascinated with the idea of going out and camping. So when girls were accepted into Scouts in 2019, you know, I joined as soon as I could. So ever since then, scouting has really helped me grow in my leadership and confidence to do those interviews, because those interviews are scary. You have a big camera in your face, a big boom mic over your head, so it's a little intimidating. So being in Scouts has helped me gain the confidence with being able to speak to people into the camera.
Dylan, what about you? Talk to me about scouting.
Yeah, like Cindy said, I was in Cub Scouts since first grade, and I've grown all the way since first grade from Cub Scouts, graduating to Boy Scouts, and being right here in Life Scout, one rank away from Eagle Scout. It's taught me so many life lessons that I would have never thought before, and it's just helped me grow my confidence as a person and just help a lot in general.
I happen to know that being an Eagle Scout is hard to achieve. Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I'm really planning on getting to that Eagle Scout status, and I'm really excited.
Okay. Do you have a plan for your project, your final thing?
Yeah, so our project actually ties into American Ninja Warrior. We're thinking of building some obstacles to set by a park that some people, like on walking trails, can go by, try some obstacles, do some things on the obstacles, and then just keep walking by.
Oh, that's a really great idea. Like a little mini ninja course.
Yeah.
Very safe, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me a little bit more about being on the show. What is it? Because in the gym, you don't fall into a big pit of water on national television, right? What do you feel whenever you fall into the big pit of water? Dylan, do you want to go first?
I would say on my run, as soon as I hit the water, it was kind of like a shocking fall to me. I wasn't really expecting to fall there, but I guess in the moment, it was just shocking. I didn't expect to fall there, and I just had time to reflect on it and just look back on it.
Yeah, and Sydney, what do you make of the falling into a water pit instead of just on a mat?
So yeah, it's very different, the fact that it's water and not squishy foam. But one thing that they don't tell you is that they film really, really late at night, so you can tell by everything being dark. So the water is actually really, really cold. So as soon as you hit the water, you get woken up. If you were sleepy before you ran, you're not anymore because it's really cold.
Do they have to film at night because of lighting?
Yeah, it's better if it's like dark for everybody's run instead of maybe like sunrise for somebody's and like dark for somebody else's.
Oh, TV is so complicated, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. What can you talk to me about training? Because you said that some of the obstacles at your gym are the same as American Ninja Warrior, but you can't actually recreate Vegas in Pal, mm-hmm. Ohio,
yeah.
as hard as Pal tries, right? how do you train for this? Is it every day you're in the gym?
We go to the gym like 2 to 3 times a week, and we've been on our lab rat team at MLab Ohio for like 9 years now.
Wait, what did you call it?
Lab rats.
What does that mean?
Our ninja team, so at our gym, Movement Lab Ohio, there's a competitive ninja team called Lab Rats, and we've been on that for 9 years, and basically what we do is a bunch of workouts and a bunch of obstacle courses to train for what we might see on the show and like local competitions.
Okay, so there's local ninja competitions. This is new information for me. I mean, I've heard of the TV show, but Dylan, tell me about a local competition.
Yeah, so actually there's a lot of local ninja competitions instead of just American Ninja Warrior. So there's a bunch of different leagues that have smaller competitions in them, mm-hmm. that are like qualifiers. Then as soon as you qualify for that, you go into regionals, and there's one competition for regionals to qualify you for that finals in that league.
Okay.
So it's just a lot of fun.
Sydney, tell me about balancing being a TV star ninja in school. How's that work for you?
It's honestly not too bad, in my opinion, but the tough thing is when we go out to film, it is during our school year, so I missed a week of school last year, which was a little rough, but I think we balance it pretty well with our training schedule and school.
Yeah. Do you, and Dylan, what do you think about training schedule in school and scouts?
Yeah, I agree. I think we balance our training schedule really well because our scout meetings are on Monday nights and our trainings are normally from Tuesday to Thursday nights, so it doesn't conflict there. And we have a decent amount of time to try to fit in school and homework, and it just fits really well.
And what year are you both in school? Are you going into...
I'm going in my senior year.
Into senior year?
And I'm going into my junior year.
Okay. So senior year, that's a big deal.
Yep.
Are you? What's your prospects for what you want to have happen next? A professional ninja?
I'm looking at a bunch of colleges, and I'm hoping that I'll continue doing ninja and hopefully keep getting asked back.
Okay. Dylan, what about you? Professional ninja as well?
Maybe. I want to continue to do ninja, just stay strong, hopefully get called back, and then just look towards my future, look different careers and different schools that I want to go to.
I was looking at some pictures from your gym. There's a lot of students go there. So do you go to school with other ninjas? Do you have a big ninja crew here in Ohio?
In our district, we're in the Olentangy district. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ninjas from Movement Lab Ohio that are in the Olentangy district. So it's really fun when kids come into the gym wearing like an Olentangy orange shirt. I'm like, wait, I didn't know you went to the Olentangy district. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we do see a couple of people that we know.
Have others from your school been on the show too? Or are you the only ones you know of that have been on TV?
We're the only ones.
Yeah. What are your friends and people that you go to school with? What do they think about the fact that you were on TV?
I think they're always like, oh my God, guys, we know a TV star. So they're really supportive. They love watching. We've had watch parties at our house. They always come to support and show up. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So watch parties. Mm-hmm. So when do you film and when does it actually air on TV? That's a good question.
So we film in the fall and it normally comes out the next summer. There's pretty long time in between.
Do you have to keep it a secret as to what happens?
Oh, yeah. We signed an NDA. We can't say anything.
Oh, wow. You can't even tell. Are your parents there with you? Do they know what happened?
Anyone who filmed with us or was there, because we had last season, we had a bunch of our people from our gym come out and watch. If you were there and saw it, then you know what happened, obviously. But if you weren't there, we're sworn to secrecy. We can't tell anybody.
Okay. Yeah, I guess there is a crowd watching these.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So how do you keep that secret, Dylan?
It's really hard to keep the secret. A lot of my friends keep asking, like, every day. They're like, did you win? Did you win? And I'm like, I can't tell you until it actually comes out. So you just have to keep it a secret. Hope it doesn't slip out and just... Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to wish you both luck on season 18. I want to thank you for joining us. That was Sydney Yee and Dylan Yee, two siblings from PAL who competed on American Ninja Warrior and will be competing in the next season as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with an award-winning filmmaker. That's when Fascinating Ohio, the Teen Edition, continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich, and this is Fascinating Ohio, a show where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. And today is the teen edition of Fascinating Ohio. It's not every day that a teenager can call himself an award-winning filmmaker, but our next guest can do that and has several awards to back it up. Ben Kurian took home first prize in the High School Central Division of C-SPAN's Student Cam Contest, and he's just 15 years old. Welcome to All Sides, Ben.
Thanks.
So you won a documentary contest. You competed against 3,500 other films. And you did this all before you were even old enough to have a driver's license. So how did it feel to win?
Yeah, it felt great. I've always been creating films for a very long time, and it felt super rewarding when, you know, not only that hard work gets recognized, but, you know, it comes with a bit of validation, you know, when I get that kind of a prize. Yeah.
Now, you won a document. Your documentary that you won for is about driving. And I just said you're not even old enough to drive. What made you want to tackle this topic?
So last summer, I read an OECD report about, you know, the devastating impact of road traffic crashes. And how I started my video was with three statistics. So first, it's about 43,000 people die every year on American roads. Second statistic is about $481 billion in productivity loss every year just from these road traffic crashes. And then the third is 8 teens die about every day from these crashes. So, you know, all these things together, we tend to accept these things as normal. We don't really talk about road traffic crashes. We just accept them as, oh, it's always going to happen. But that article really explored some idea called Vision Zero, which is the idea of, you know, in some point achieving zero deaths on American roadways. So that idea really fascinated me and got me super interested and started helping me brainstorm the video.
Now, yeah, the contest you won, these contests have a theme. So the theme was your message to the president. So your message is you want to eliminate road fatalities.
Yeah, I think part of that message is one thing. Using AI is that's part of what I talk about in my video, but also raising awareness to drivers, you know, like we should be safer on the roads, pay more attention, you know, obviously get off our phones, things like that. Yeah.
So you're not even driving yet, but when you drive, are you planning on being a very safe driver?
Hopefully so. Yeah.
Yes. How did you hear about the contest? I don't know that every kid knows that the C-SPAN even exists, let alone that it has a contest.
Yeah. I think our school's gifted teachers would always put on posts, you know, for the entire school to see on our website. So I saw something called C-SPAN Student Cam. I didn't know what C-SPAN was at the time, obviously, yeah, when I did that. But I saw documentary competition, film, video, things like that automatically, like, caught my eyes. So
when you were making this video, how did you find sources to be in your documentary?
Yeah, so I've always kind of been, you know, interested in research. So one thing I do is debate. So I'm part of my school's team. So we do a lot of research. We'll read a lot of scholarly articles, things like that. So kind of that experience from debate transferred over into this video. So I would look on, you know, these databases, libraries, things like that for credible sources.
Okay. And you actually had to go and like interview people. You have to ask them to sit down. Is that intimidating to you, or do you like talking to people?
I generally like talking to people. I think it's it can be challenging at times, right? So what I do is I just find people online that sounded interesting or sounded like they'd really have a lot of expertise, just sent them out an email. And I think my mindset is always just ask, because what's the worst they can say? It's no.
So. Yeah, yeah. So what do you think while researching this documentary and looking into ways to reduce the number of crashes on the road, what do you feel the most important thing you learned is?
I think I talk a lot about in my documentary about, you know, AI, technology, things like this, right? But I think the biggest thing that we can do is all just really have this mindset shift to where it's not like road traffic crashes are acceptable, but rather that, you know, it's something that we can change, something that, you know, we can eventually approach zero. It's really changing that mindset on our roads.
I thought it was interesting when I watched your piece that we fix a road after there's several bad accidents.
Right.
Talk to me about that, where we should be preventing them, not after the fact.
Yeah. So most, you know, road safety measures are going to be reactive. So we, you know, after certain crashes, we'll amalgamate in this sort of area. What we'll do about that is we'll look at these crashes, then suggest road safety interventions, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is that waits for deaths to happen. Instead, what we should do is a proactive approach, and this is where AI kind of shines here. We look at what areas of high risk. So we'll look at things like, you know, near misses or swerves or speeding, things like mm-hmm. that, instead of crashes. And that helps us identify these high-risk areas and then make proactive road safety interventions.
Because the car can record when you almost, like, is that what you mean? Like, AI can record in the car when you almost had a crash, or, like, cameras can pick
yeah,
up on that?
Yeah, cameras around can pick up on that, yeah.
Okay. So from winning this C-SPAN competition, you also won $3,000. do you have any plans for the money?
I think more gear. So last year when I won, I think it was about 2000 or something like that, I spent a good chunk of it, probably most of it, on camera gear. So for the past 2 years, I've been filming on iPhone, but this year I decided to kind of splurge on a good camera, and I think it's a worthwhile investment. So probably investing in more gear.
Oh, so maybe that gear change is what took you to first place.
Maybe.
Maybe. you also got a recognition from Governor DeWine. How did you feel about that?
That was, I didn't even know that had happened. I got interviewed, and apparently they told me that Governor DeWine sent out some recognition video. I didn't even know. I found out from them.
Okay.
So I was really surprised and really stoked to hear that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Governor DeWine also has talked a lot about road safety, so I'm sure his documentary, your documentary appealed to him.
For sure, yeah.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides, and this is the Fascinating Ohio Teen Edition. We're talking with Ben Kurian, 15-year-old award-winning filmmaker. Because of your win and the topic, you delivered a speech at the International Bridge, Toll, and Turnpike Association Technology Summit in Dallas, Texas.
That's right.
How did that come about?
So I guess I'd start by this. So our Powell City Councilman, his name is Mr. Farzan Ahmed. He is the executive director of that organization, the International Bridge, Toll, and Turnpike Association.
No, who knew, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I interviewed not only him, but I interviewed a lot of other people from that organization for my video. So when they all found out that I won first place, they were all super excited, and they asked me, hey, do you want to come over to Dallas and show your video, maybe present about it? I'm like, yes.
Obviously, yeah. Who knew there was an International Bridge, Toll, and Turnpike Association, right?
I didn't.
So, yeah, I certainly didn't either. What was it like talking to a room full of people who care about infrastructure?
I think it was definitely scary, because about 1,100 or so people were at the conference and in that room when I gave that presentation. So, it felt really nice that I got to get my voice out as a teenager, and also like talk like a road safety advocate. You know, I'm just a high schooler, but it felt really nice being able to talk to these people and having them really understand and, you know, take this whole issue really seriously.
Hmm. How did you end up getting into filmmaking? What started you down this path?
I like to say it's in fourth grade. So I'd always make videos with gummy bears. It was very random. So I'd make these stop motion animations in my room, in the kitchen, in the living room, things like that. And I'd show them to my friends, and they were all
like just on a phone or an iPad or something?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Just stop motion, things like that. So I got really entertained with that. And when I found out about the C-SPAN competition in seventh grade, I realized I could shift the camera off of the gummy bears and then, you know, onto my face and actually talk about real issues that are affecting our country. So not only just combining my love for filmmaking, but also my love for advocacy.
Were you kind of inspired by, because C-SPAN had, I looked at some of these prompts over the years. I mean, they're really good prompts for the videos. Is that what inspired you to get away from the gummy bears? Because you were like, oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think the first one that I did was, if you were a newly elected member of Congress, like, what's the first thing you would do? Mm-hmm. So when I was in seventh grade and I saw that prompt, I know my mom is a nurse practitioner. She has a specialty in, you know, addiction medicine. So I decided, you know, maybe we'll tackle opioid addiction. And I think that's a really huge issue. So I love finding different issues in our country and trying to suggest solutions, I guess.
So you were like 12 then and you're tackling the opioid crisis? Wow.
I guess so.
Okay. I mean, that's some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Did you learned a lot, I'm sure, by putting that
sure.
together.
Yeah.
And then, so that was your first one. And then there was another one in between. What was that one about?
That one was about career education. So I forget exactly what the statistic was, but a lot of like kids don't know what they want to do when they grow up. So I think a problem in our education system is that we don't really prepare them for careers. We teach them, you know, maybe like math, science, English, social studies. And obviously, while that's not bad, I think it's also important that we teach them about career specifically, because not everyone wants to go to college. Not everyone needs to go to college. So I think there are many different pathways that people can take. And what I advocated for in that video was a more strong education system to support people's career choices.
And what do you want to be, or what do I want to be? Who do I want to be? Okay, got it. So who do you want to be? See, that now I feel like you just talked about people your age not knowing what they want to be, but now I guess I need to ask you. So you want to be a filmmaker?
Surprisingly, no. I have a lot of a lot of interests. So for one thing, I love music. I play a few instruments, piano, violin, drums. Mm-hmm. I love filmmaking, as we just talked about. I also really love medicine. So I'm planning on becoming a doctor in the future. But I definitely want to continue all these aspects of, you know, for example, filmmaking or music, at least in my free time, or trying to combine it even with my profession.
Okay. Yeah. So filmmaking is one of your many talents. In your documentary, you do some narratives, which TV reporters will call stand-ups, which is basically when you're walking and talking and delivering information. And I know for a fact that's not easy to do. How many takes does it take for you to do this?
A lot. a lot. So the problem was I'm a huge procrastinator. I'm going to be completely honest. So we only really started filming in like last few days of December. So like right after Christmas, we just drove out to downtown Columbus and just started filming there. The thing I didn't realize about that is it's extremely cold in downtown Columbus in the winter. So like I could barely get words out. It was really hard to talk. I think that was the biggest problem. And also, I guess, memorizing my lines, that was really hard as well. But
Do you have someone helping you with the camera, some of the camera shots?
Yeah, so I usually have my dad and brother help out. They'll, you know, I'll usually set up the shot, but then they'll press record. And if, you know, it's a moving shot like the one you're talking about, my dad will just, like, walk kind of backwards, moonwalk with the camera, and I'll just be walking towards it.
Well, I can speak from TV experience that maybe with some of your $3,000, you can invest in a prompter because that'll help you with the lines. Whenever I was watching your three different documentaries, you know, I was wondering if you wanted to be a filmmaker, and then I also wondered if you wanted to be a journalist. I mean, they were very journalistic. Right. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I definitely want to make more documentaries like this in the future because it's not just like the film aspect I love about this. It's really also one, advocacy, like taking a stance on issues, also reaching out to people, talking to people, finding more about issues in America. So I really like both aspects of, you know, film and journalism. So I guess hopefully I want to combine those two in the future.
Are you heading into your sophomore year or junior?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year. Yeah. Okay. So you still have time before you have to make any of these decisions because, yeah. You know, music, journalism, filmmaking, medicine, that's a lot of different buckets.
It's a lot, yeah.
You made that film, Who Do I Want to Be?
Right.
Do you feel like you're able to explore all these career options?
I think it's more of a dream that I had early on in medicine, I'm going to be completely honest. But, like, I'd say that not everyone has that, like, early on dream. Like, some people might just have this idea that, hey, I might want to become a doctor, but, like, they might not be set on that. But I think luckily for me, I just had that idea early on and just was really set on making that happen.
Now, you just won this contest, so I'm not sure exactly the timeline. Are you going to enter the next contest?
I'm planning on it. So the prompt got released. It's talking about the Declaration of Independence and how it's had an effect on what we have today. In America, so I'm still kind of the drawing board, but usually as it's ended up for the past 3 years, I'll start researching and then I'll forget about it, and come like winter break, I'll start panicking and start researching.
When is it due?
It's usually due mid-January. This year is due on Inauguration Day. I think that's the 20th, but yeah, mid-January.
Okay. That's interesting. See, I said before C-SPAN has these interesting topics because that goes with C-SPAN. But the Declaration of Independence, I mean, what was your initial reaction when you saw that prompt?
I guess it made sense to me. Like, it's a 250th anniversary of the country, right? But most of the prompts for the past 3 years, it's really like, I don't really have to follow the prompt. I can just find an issue and whatever I want, just really talk about it. But now it's a lot more focused. Like, I have to actually connect the Declaration of Independence to whatever issue I'm talking about. So I think I have to follow the prompt a bit more carefully this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And whenever you go accept the award, do they have like an event or anything with everyone who entered, or was it just they mailed it to your house?
For past years, they've had an event at my school where, you know, they some people from C-SPAN actually fly out from DC, which is really exciting. Yeah. And also people around my community, they get to I guess present me like big checks that you'll see on TV. That's always a fun.
Oh, you
moment.
Got a big check?
Oh yeah, it's in my room.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All right, so if people listening right now want to watch your videos, because we've mentioned three of them, how do they do that?
Yeah, I got a website. It's called benkurian.com, benkurian.com. So you can just watch all my videos, find out some of my music and explore some of the projects I've worked on.
Okay. So besides entering the Declaration of Independence contest, what's next for you? What are your big plans for your sophomore year?
As of this summer, I've started building an organization, a national organization. It's called SPAN, Students for Patient Advocacy Nationwide. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of combining my interests with advocacy for issues and also with my interest in medicine. So what we do is we'll find legislation around the country in different states that relate to healthcare, and we'll, you know, find if there's a problem in it, we'll submit a proposal to amend it. So we've been really successful in a few states like Texas and California. We've got some really cool stuff passed. Yeah.
Wow. In 30 seconds, can you tell me one of them? Because that's very interesting.
Yeah. So in Texas, there's a bill called House Bill 5294. So that threatened to eliminate the pass-fail grading in Texas medical schools. So that would mean, like, you know, a Texas med student would get a 77 on an exam, and maybe a Tennessee medical student would get a pass on that exam. So obviously, that's going to put them at a huge disadvantage. So what we did is we advocated to bring it back to pass-fail grading to keep these med students really competitive with other applicants.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Ben Kurian. He took home first prize in the High School Central Division in C-SPAN's Student Cam contest with his 6-minute documentary about safe driving and eliminating road fatalities. Thanks for joining us, Ben.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Fascinating Ohio, the Teen Edition. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.